Okay, we're continuing from Netilat Yadayim L'Seuda Perek Bet. We're on Seif Tet, Koach Gavra V'din Berez. Koach Gavra is the Netilat Yadayim has to be a result of an act of pouring. And of course, Din Berez, we're going to examine the extent to which a faucet may constitute that stipulation. Tiknu Chachamim Shehamayim Yishpechu Al Yadayim Mitoch Kli V'Sheshvicha Zot Yaseh BeKoach Gavra. So Chachamim established that there must be a Netilat Yadayim from within a vessel, which we spoke about already, and that pouring must occur by extension of koach gavra hainu b'kocho shel adam, right? That a person must be pouring it on you. V'samchu divreim ala pasuk, and they provided a certain hint or support for what they were saying. V'natan alav mayim chaim el keli, right? That you place upon him water from a vessel. So that v'natan, and you placed, implies that there needs to be an act of placement, and that's koach gavra. Aval adam sheirtiv et yadav b'geshem lo yasai dechoto chovat netila, ki hamayim ba'u al yadav below kli u'below kli koach gavra. Someone who washes his hands in rain has not done netilat yadayim because it's not koach gavra, and it doesn't come from a kli. So, in order to elaborate or to elucidate this law a little bit further, we'll take, for example, the Dud Shabbat, you know, the big water heaters on Shabbat that we heat water up in. Right, we are accustomed to filling up water in them, and at the bottom you have a faucet. Tchila ne'emar sheberur shedudim elu hem kelim, v'lechein yechol adam la'atos tadud ad shamayim yishpechu mimenu al yadav v'yatza b'zeh yidei mitzvah netilat yadayim. First of all, you need to clarify the dude for the mayim, this water heater, is definitely a kli. It definitely constitutes an appropriate vessel. Whereas if you were to tip over the entire kli onto your hands, everyone would agree that that would constitute netilat yadayim. So it's certainly a kli. So that stipulation is met. El she'ela ha'im mutar litol yadayim al yidei p'tichat haberes she'yotzei mitachtav. The question is whether or not you're allowed to do netilat yadayim by opening up the faucet at the bottom. Mitzad echad omnam ha'mayim yetzu al yidei kocho ha'inu al yidei p'tichat haberes, aval min hatzad hashani pu'ula zo eina matei at hakli kidei lishpoch et ha'mayim ela rak basira et ha'matzor shebaberes ve'al yidei kach ha'mayim zormim me'atzmam. On the one hand, in a sense, it is coming out because of your actions. You opened the faucet, in which case it is a direct result of your intervention. On the other hand, it's not similar to pouring the kli over and having it wash on your hands, because all you're doing is removing what was stopping the water from coming out, and then it starts flowing on its own. So the removing of that blockage, does that count as koach gavra? So the water that comes out immediately upon opening it, that constitutes mikoach adam, because we see that as a direct result of your action of opening the faucet. But what flows immediately after that kind of first burst of water, that's considered flowing by itself, just by the natural process of the faucet, and it's not appropriate. You can't do until yadayim from there. Right. So someone who wants to wash his hands under a faucet of a dud mayim, he has to put his hand underneath it, open the faucet, wash the hand from what is immediately comes out of the faucet, and close the faucet, and complete until his entire hand is wet. And even though that first burst of water doesn't do the netila on your entire hand, you're allowed to do the netila in multiple stages. But that needs to be mentioned. That is only when it comes to a faucet that's attached to a vessel, because the Chachamim were established that it's not just koach gavra, but it's also from a vessel. e'efshar litol yadayim. But a normal sink, like a normal faucet that's attached to your kitchen sink or anywhere else, she'av ki yaz, it cannot be used for netilat yadayim. She'av ki yazeram rishon shiyotze achar p'techat haberes nechav k'koach k'avret zinor ha'mayim eino kli v'lamanu shenetilat tzuchar levom b'kli. Right? So because even though the water that immediately comes out when you open the faucet is koach gavra, but the pipe that's holding that water is not considered a kli. Therefore, it doesn't matter that it's koach gavra; it doesn't work. Right? There is actually a way to be metahir your hands and to do netilat yadayim without koach gavra and without a kli. How so? You have to dip them into a mikvah. Basically, any fresh water source, if you dip your hands into them, you can purify your hands without a kli and without koch gavra shaken. Because the power of a mikvah is beyond that of the power of netilat yadayim. Right? A mikvah can betire your entire hands from your entire body, from real issues of tumah. All the more so can betire just your hands. Okay, now we're going to go on to chatzitza. Chatzitza is this separation that if there's any separation between your hands and the water that's being poured on them. You have to be very, very careful from a separation that may be on your hands, that separates between your hands and the water that's being poured on them. She'im nidbak biyado lichluch otseva harehem chotzim behen hamayim liyado. If there's any dirt or any paint on your hands, then it's going to serve as a separation. Right? And if that separation covers most of the hand itself, that's going to nullify the netila altogether. It's not going to be a proper netila. However, if the separation was only on part, a minority of the hand, hadin talui b'hakpada al ota chatzitza, right? So then the din becomes somewhat subjective, in a sense, wherein it depends on whether or not it bothers you that it's there. So again, if it's on the majority of the hands, the netila is pasul. If it's on the minority of the hands, it depends if it bothers you that it's there. Im gam hu v'gam rovash anashim regilim l'hakpid al ota chatzitza. If both you on a personal level and most people in general do not want those things on your hands, you go, Sheish al yado tseva, lamrot shehi al miktzat yado chovala alav lasira lefnei netila. So if you have paint on your hands, even if it's just a small amount of your hands, most people do not want that on your hands all the time. So you must take it off before netila yadayim, otherwise netila doesn't count. V'im natal below lasir otai, yishuv litol yadav bibracha. You have to do it Tila again. If you had paint on your hands, you take it off and do it again, and then the bracha again. And what if it is a type of separation that most people would take off, but you don't mind as much? So, if either you aren't makbid, but most people are, or most people are not makbid, but you are, you still have to take it off. However, if you made a mistake and you left it on, so you should go back and do another tila, but you don't make a bracha, because there are some poskim who believe that a chatzitza, a separation on the minority of the hand, if either you or Rova Olam, one or the other, is not makbid on it, it doesn't constitute a chatzitza. In which case, we're going to go safei bracha lahakel, we're going to say, don't say the bracha again. Right? V'anashim shemlachtam b'tzvia. But what about people who their profession, their livelihood is paint? They almost permanently have paint stains on their hand. It's difficult to take off every day. Even though most people are makbid and they don't want those things in their hands, for those who work with paint, for painters, it doesn't constitute a separation. Right? Because it's known that painters, by and large, or sofrim, who will have ink on their hands, aren't makbid on these things. it doesn't constitute a chatzitza for them. So it seems to be a question of, when we say you're not makbid and Rov HaOlam isn't makbid, does that mean actually it always goes by you and Rov HaOlam, and then here there's some kind of random exception? Or when we say Rov HaOlam, we mean that you're just not an odd case. Meaning, most people don't like having dirt on their hands. You're this odd case, in which case that makes you different, and that's not going to change the halacha. However, if you're a painter and you don't mind having paint on your hands, you're not an odd case. You're like every other painter. So maybe when we say Rov HaOlam, we don't really mean most of the world. We mean most of the people who are in your situation. Is it strange? Are you one of a kind that you're not makbid on this? Or is it that all people like you are not makbid on this? In which case, for your purposes, that's Rov HaOlam for your sake. And women who paint their fingernails, en bazeh chatzitza, that's not a separation. They want it there. But what if the nail polish starts to come off? And you wouldn't go out in public with chipped nail polish. Well, then that bothers you that it's there. That's what that means. And so you have to take it off in order to do netilat yadayim.
Tabat shenoadim al etzba ve'en regim lasira b'shum matzav, harei nechshevet echelek min hayad ve'en rochotzetzet b'netila.
If you have a ring on your finger and you do not take this ring off, right? It's always there, or you don't habitually take the ring off, that doesn't constitute it. Chatzitza, you don't have to take it off until you die. Aval, tabat shemakbidim lasira b'zmanim mesuyimim. However, if you're very particular to take this ring off at specific times, en nechshevet echelek min hayad ve'chotzetzet b'netila. So it no longer constitutes as part of the hand, and it separates in the tila yadayim, so take it off. Vigach, isha shemakbida lasir et tabat be'et shehi lasha betzek. Tzicha lasir et tabat lefnei netila. Let's say you're kneading dough. Right? If you're kneading dough, and you generally would take off the ring to knead the dough because you don't want it to get dirty, then it's clear that you take that ring off for some activities. In which case, you have to take it off also for netilat yadayim, because it doesn't constitute as part of your hand. Ve'omnam, mitzad adin, im hi munachat betzura rofefet ala etzba. Now, mikar adin, if it's kind of loose around your finger, eni chotzetet b'fnei amai, it's not really a chatzitza before the water, because the water still can get into it. Ela shalmas ha'ol v'kasher lagdir miduyak, matai atabat anuda betzura rofefet, matai betzura mehudeket. Noagim lachmir lasir b'fnei netilat, tot v'ashukhim lasir v'zmanim mesuyamim. But it's very difficult to define exactly what constitutes a loose fit, a tight fit. We'd rather not get into that machloket. And so if this is something that you would take off for specific activities, this ring, you have to take it off for netilat yadayim as well.
Mishin nifza biyado ad shutzach lahadbik al petzo plaster o tachboshet.
Someone got injured, had some kind of injury, and he had to put a band-aid or some kind of wrap around his injury on his hand.
Right?
If you could take off the cast or the wrap or whatever you have on very, very easily and wash your hands, that's what you need to do. However, if it's painful to do so, or if it's going to be damaging to the wound itself to take it off, you just have to wash the rest of the hand. And that's how you're going to execute your obligation for netilat yadayim, just by doing the rest of the hand. You still have to be very careful to pour a full revit. Again, that's about the size of an egg in liquid. Al hayad she'im, or an egg and a half rather. She'im loken yesafek b'kashuk tenetila. Right. If you didn't do a full egg and a half, there's going to be a safek. If you didn't do a revit, there's going to be a doubt as to whether or not you really did a proper netilat yadayim. So what if you had a wound that scabbed? So if it bothers you that it's there, the scab is there, and it's really easy to take it off, then you should take it off before netila. However, if it doesn't really bother you, it's very small, but if it's going to be painful, or if it risks reopening the wound, you do not have to take it off.
Seder hanetila lemaseh. Okay, what is the order in which we wash our hands practically? How exactly do we do this? Kach hu seder hanetila. This is the seder hanetila. Notlim tchila et yad yamin pa'amayim beritzifut. Right? First, you wash the right hand twice in a row. So you have the cup in your left hand, you pour a ravit on the right, you pour another ravit on the right. V'chalkach notlim et yad smol pa'amayim beritzifut. And then you pour on the left twice in a row. You have the cup in your right hand, and you pour on the left twice in a row. V'madakti ve ha-makdimin yad yamin bipnei shi romezet limidat chesed. He doesn't really get into the symbolism here, but we're supposed to start with the right hand because it symbolizes the midah of generosity, the hand that gives. V'meshach kol natila ad niguv nuagim lagbia me'at et tzpodri yadayim. And we practice to lift the hands up slightly, lift the fingers up slightly throughout this entire process until you've dried the hands. He doesn't write it, but I believe it's out of a concern that you don't want the water on part of your hands to then drip down onto other parts of your hands and be metame them. Yesh ma'adrim al pi ha'ari l'tol kol yad shalosh b'amim v'chal kach magbim et yadayim l'gova ha'rosh v'vachim. It could just be a deeper ideological thing, but there are those who practice in accordance with the Rite to actually wash each hand three times, and then not just to lift up your hands a little bit, but rather to lift them up to the height of your head. And everyone needs to know this. There's a difference between the Netilat Yadayim that we do in the morning and the Netilat Yadayim that we do before a meal. They're not the same Netilat Yadayim. They don't have the same purpose, and therefore they don't have the same practice. In the morning, you have to wash each hand three times and alternating. You go right, left, right, left, right, left. So Chazal told us that, first of all, there's Ruach Ra on your hands. What exactly Ruach Ra means, we won't get into. But there's something on your hands from the night that you need to wash off. And therefore, the way Chazal say to wash this off is by doing it all in an alternating fashion. So because we're not washing for Kedusha and Tahara, we're washing to remove Ruach Ra. There's a different order. That requires three alternating pours. But with Netila before a meal, not only is there no need to do it alternatingly, it's better to do it one after the other, right, right, left, left. And here's why. What if the first rinse, the first pour, less than a ravit came out? Right, less than a ravid of water, the minimum size you need to wash with, came out of your hand. Now, what do you do then? Hamayim rishonim sheyavo al hayad umnam yitaru ta yad aval hem atzmam yishuv adayin tmei. The water that you poured onto your hand, they will be metaher the places on the hand that you poured it. However, the water itself contracts tumah from the hand. If you have a full ravit, then the ravit takes care of all the tumah. But if you have less than a ravit that you pour on your hand, while that ravit affects the tahara of your hand is actually able to be mitaher, to be mitame the water. And now you have tame water just sitting on the back of your hand. It's only by a ravit or more that you're going to, that the water itself won't contract tumah. Right? And only the second pour, that you do over it is going to be metaher the tame water on your hand such that you no longer have any concern. And that's why we're so careful. That's why we have a different practice when it comes to washing your hands for the Seuda. We're concerned about Tuma and Tahara. And if you don't pour enough water, which can happen, it can definitely happen. We're not careful. We don't measure these things out. So we wash again, pour it a second time almost immediately, and that's going to be metaher any tame water that may be on your hand. וכדי לזרז את טהרתם מדקדקים ליטול כל יד פעמיים ברציפות.
In order to make sure they become, they, that they are tahor, we are makpid as a practice to wash both hands twice immediately, one after the other.
ואף על פי שנוטלים כל יד פעמיים, נכון להקפיד לשפוך בפעם הראשונה על כל יד לכל הפחות כשיעור רביעית לוג.
So even though we wash every hand twice, right? And so you might think, listen, I wash it twice, I'll just do a little bit of this time, a little bit of that time. It's still better, ideally, that you're very makbid, that each and every time is a revit. Now, if the first time was less than a revit, and the second time was less than a revit, and it was metaher the first time, does it technically work? Yes, we're very medactic to have to try to do it with a revit for every pour. Because then you'll be yotzei according to everyone's shita with regards to what proper netila requires.
Hanatila mitzuya machila keliter ma'im hanatla.
Right, the average washing cup that you're familiar with has about a liter of water in it. And even with half of that, half a liter, you're able to do natila in the most machmir version possible. The problem is the human error. Most people don't wash their hands proper, or a lot of people don't wash their hands properly. They're not makbid to pour it all in the right place. They just kind of pour a lot out. Most of it doesn't even land on your hand. So even though you think you poured a lot of water on, if you check, there are parts of your hand and your fingers that aren't actually wet. And so you didn't actually sufficiently purify your hand. You have to be careful to wash properly, such that you're sure, you're confident that the water really did reach all the parts of your hand. It's important to point out that you can wash your hands with a normal cup. You don't need a washing cup. However, because we're makbid to pour a full revit each time, for the reasons that we mentioned earlier, what that's going to mean is that a normal cup, unless it's particularly big, a normal cup is not going to be enough to wash until you die. Washing a tilat yadayim doesn't mean, can I succeed in breaking up what I have in the cup into fourths? Yes, you can. But that doesn't mean that you poured enough on it. And if you have a normal cup, and you're pouring two reviyot properly on the first hand, you don't have another two reviyot left in that cup, most likely.
ולכן המים שבקוס מספיקים רק ליד אחד, מכל מקום אפשר לאחר סיום נטילת יד ימין, לומר את הקוס במים מהברז ולמשך ליטול את היד שמאל, רק הקפיד שימלא את הקוס שהיד הנטולה לא תיגע ביד שאין הנטולה.
So one cup is not enough for both hands, but you're allowed to refill the cup. Even though it's kind of, it seems like a separation, you're allowed to just refill the cup and then wash your left hand. But it's very important that you're careful that the unwashed hand does not touch the washed hand, right? That's just going to be mitame, the washed hand.
Diktukim be'et ha'netila,
right? Certain things you need to pay careful attention to at the time that you're washing your hands.
Talich asarat teuma me'adayim v'taratan murkav. ולכן עוד נמשך, וכל עוד הוא נמשך, איש זר מאוד שלא לקלקלו.
The process of purifying your hands, the process of making your hands tahor when they were tameh, it's a complicated process and there are a lot of details. You have to be very, very careful not to mess it up while you're going through the motions.
ולכן, אחר שנטל אדם את ידו הראשונה,
after you wash your first hand, צריך לזהר שלא ייגע בה בידו השנייה. You cannot touch it with your other hand. Because if your unwashed hand touches the washed hand, the unwashed hand will be mitame, will make impure the water that is upon your washed hand. And then that water, which has now become tame, will then be mitame, the hand that was already washed, as well as that's probably going to be metame, the hand that wasn't washed.
וכיוון שהתומה באה לכל יד מחברת, אין אפשרות להמשיך לטהר אותו בנטילה נוספת.
And because the tumah came to your hand from your other hand, you actually can't just keep pouring water on it and have that tumah go away.
כי הנטילה הנוספת יכולה לתאר רק את המים הראשונים שנטמעו תוך שטיהרו את היד.
Because that second washing is only able to be metaher water that was used to be metaher your hand. Right? So that first water that you used to be metaher your hand, which was metaher your hand, but then became tameh, the second water that you pour over is able to be metaher that water. But it's not just going to be able to metaher all water, in which case, if you washed one hand and your hand is wet and then you touched it with your other hand, now the wet hand and the dry hand are, or the wet hand contracted tumah from the water, that water conveyed it to the hand, and now your hand is tameh, unless you think, okay, I'll just keep washing my hands.
No, because the water that you pour on afterward is not able to be metaher the water in your hand. The water, it's only the water you pour over afterward is only able to metaher water that was poured onto your hand in a pure fashion for the sake of Netilat Yadayim.
Aval mayim shenitmu mimaga al yidei acheret.
So what do you need to do? You need to then dry your hands. If that's what happened, that one hand was wet, right? You need to dry your hands and then restart.
But what if you finished properly purifying both your hands? And you washed each hand twice. And yicholot and goes up so they're allowed to touch each other. Rabbi Nagul shav shavan goes up so, and a lot of people practice to rub them together.
Aval im Yehudi acher sheyadav en tulat yiga be'en biyado yachzor yidayim letama.
However, that's only because both your hands are pure. If someone with impure hands, another Jew who has yet to wash his hands, touches your hands, then you have to go back and rewash. Gilat the'er ta nitzerech the nagvan latzil tentila mechadash. And you actually have to dry them off first, and then you're allowed to do the netilah again. Achar and nigu v'yadam. However, if you already dried your hands, nistayim talich taratan v'shuv enu mekablot tumah, then the whole process is done, and it is not mekablot tumah, even if your friend touches your hand. V'afilu im yiga behen yehudi acher shelo natal yadav v'adayim netilah lo yitamu. Right, so even if another Jew comes up to you and touches your hands aren't tameh, even if his are. Even if his hands are wet, your hands are not going to become tameh. There are those who are particular to dry off the handles of the washing cup from any wetness. Because what happens when you pick up that clean netilah? Then your hands, which are tameh at this point, are going to be metameh the water which is on the handle. And then when you pick it up with your left hand is now touching water that was made tameh by your right hand, and now your left hand is going to be tameh. So there are those who are noeg not to just dry off the handles, not to encounter that problem. Most
posts
can say you don't actually have to dry it off. Because this water, the water that we're concerned with coming in contact with your washed hand, is actually only the water that's put there while you're washing. If it was there from beforehand, that actually doesn't matter. It's only the water that hits your hand in the process of purifying your hands that we care about. But if water on your hands, before you even start a tila yadayim, they don't become tameh. Someone whose hands were dirty, and he washed them before washing his hands. Like, he scrubbed his hands before doing tilei daim. That water that was there beforehand, it's not tameh. Right? In which case, he's allowed to use that washing cup, even if they're wet handles, and he doesn't dry them.
וכן לגבי המגע של היד בידית הנטלה, כיוון שמגע זה נעשה לפני שהתחיל בפועל ליטול את ידיו, אפילו אם הייתה הידית נטובה, אין המים שעליה נטמאים מידו. ממילא גם אחר כך, כאשר מתוך תהליך הנטילה ייגע במים שעל הידית, ידו לא תטמא מהן. So the general rule is, when did this water get there? If it came as a result of the purifying process, then it's a problem. But if not, if it was there from before, whether you washed your hands or whether there was just wetness, moisture on the washing cup itself, that's not a problem. You have to be makbid on one thing. To wash each hand twice in a row. That's how you make it entirely tahor. However, if you use less than revit, right? If you use less than a revit, right, then the water in your hand is now tame. And that tame, that water in your hand, which is now tame, and that can go on now to the washing cup, because that's properly tame. That was put on your hand in the process of washing. And when the second hand touches the yadid, it's going to become tame. That's why you have to be so, so careful that you wash your hands properly. If you wash with less than a revit, okay, that's fine. You're pouring it over again. So pour a revit this time, be tired of the water, and you have no impure water left on your hand, and then you can touch the washing cup. However, if you do not put enough water on your hand, it's not just a problem of the tahara process, but you're essentially being metame the water, which you're now going to put onto the washing cup, which you're picking up, which you're then picking up with your other hand and making it tame. It's important just to point out this footnote at the bottom, footnote 7, that there are those who are makbid if a lot of people are washing their hands to actually dry off the natlan. Why? Because all the water there was there in the context of washing. This isn't water from beforehand. This is water from washing, right? In which case, you should be makbid. That's the footnote. There are those who say that. Lemaisa, we're still makil, because one, it's a big suffix, meaning who's to say he didn't wash it proper? Who's to say he didn't, wash his hands properly? So that's a suffix, and so we would go lakula. The second reason he writes, "Ashni yesh makom lomar shemayim tmeim shenotu al yadid miyadatav shel hakodem en tmein et ze shenotel acharav shulai rak tanotel atzmo hem yicholim tame velo adam acher." So the Chazon Ish writes that there's an additional problem with suggesting that you have to dry it off in between users, in which case, just like we taught, that it's only water that is poured on your hands in the context of netilat yadayim that becomes an issue. However, water that's poured outside the context of Mila Dayim but beforehand is not an issue. So too, it's only an issue if it was your Netilat Yadayim. That's all we care about. The water that was poured on your hands, if you didn't pour enough, can be mitame your other hand. However, other people cannot be mitare your hands by not pouring enough water onto their hands and having the water become tame. So we're not concerned at all. Anyway, you have a sveka, a suffix there, a button, whatever it is that you have is enough to be makel and not to have to dry off the handles. We're going to stop here. And next shir, we're going to do Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, Tet Vav, Tet Zayin, and Yud Zayin, and finish off Matilat Yadayim.